I invite you to open your Bible. Something happened here. Well, we already did all of that. Huh. And my sermon's gone. Well, that's interesting. We're going to have you open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we're going to find this in a moment, because it's not far. There we are. In John chapter 12, we have the second encounter of Jesus being anointed. I'm having a little background here, if you could check the gain, please. In John 12, verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, 6 days before the Passover. Now remember what we've seen already in our study. The first 11 chapters of the Gospel of John take about 3 years of time. And now we come to a period where chapters 12 till about chapter 20 is going to take place in a week. It's going to fly by real quick. It's going to be an intense time. And so Jesus is getting ready to celebrate the Passover, and of course you know what he's going to do at the Passover. He's going to institute what we have as the Lord's table. So he comes to Bethany. Now, you remember what happened in Bethany? Somebody tell me what happened in Bethany. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Very good. Hopefully you remember me preaching that and not just that you read it in the text. Because John tells us that it is in Bethany where Lazarus was raised from the dead. And there's a supper that's going to be held there. And Martha, we know between the two sisters, Mary and Martha, Martha is the serving one. The first time we met them in Luke, Martha was serving, and she said to Jesus, "Would you tell my sister Mary to help?" And what did Jesus say? Mary has found the better thing. She was worshiping. It's not wrong to serve, but it's better to worship. And so Martha is serving, and Lazarus is at the table, and Mary takes a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anoints the feet of Jesus, and wipes his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the fragrance of the oil. And one of the disciples, John tells us, it's Judas who speaks up and says, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This, he said, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. Have you ever stolen anything? Be careful, you're in church. Confession is important. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for my day of burial. For the poor you always have with me, but me you do not have." Now, when we read our Bible, we might read a story and we might think to ourselves, "Well, wait a second. I think I've heard a story about this." Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 7, because many people often confuse what Mary did here in Bethany with Lazarus and Jesus present is what's recorded in Luke 7. And yet Luke tells us that at one of the Pharisees asked him to come to his home. So a Pharisee is a religious leader, and the religious leaders are hounding Jesus to bring him down, but here this Pharisee invites Jesus to his home. And they sit down to eat, and a woman in the city, who's unnamed according to Luke, is a sinner. And she knew Jesus was at the table, and so she breaks an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stands behind him, she weeps, she begins to wash his feet with her tears, wipes them with the hair of her head, kisses his feet, anoints them with the fragrant oil. And the Pharisee says, "Wait a second. If this man was who he says he was, a prophet, he would know that this sinning woman is touching him and it wouldn't be right." That's a completely different account. This is a time, if you read it further, Jesus says that this woman has loved much because she's been forgiven much. Have you ever just put a ledger down, you know, put it on your computer or a sheet of paper and listed all your sins? Have you ever done that? Just listed all your sins and realized how much God has forgiven you. This is what this woman did. This woman was well aware of all her sins, and she said, "Jesus has forgiven me of so much, I'm going to love him in an extravagant way. But it's not the same story. John gives us an overview of this little dinner, but Mark and Matthew give us more details. So turn with me, please, to Mark 14. And notice what Mark tells us. He says, now, being in Bethany in the house of, Simon the leper. So this occurrence here in John chapter 12, though John doesn't tell us, is at the home of Simon the leper. Now, if you don't know anything about the Bible, let me tell you this. He's not a leper anymore. Because if he was a leper, no one would be at his house. Lepers were supposed to walk around, and if a person came close to them, they were supposed to shout out, unclean, unclean. And in that day and age, anyone who was a leper died of being a leper. They died of leprosy. The only way you could be cured of leprosy was by Jesus. So what we have here at this dinner party is Simon, really the ex-leper, and Lazarus, the ex-dead guy. And so Simon wants to express his gratitude for Jesus healing him. He invites Lazarus, who used to be dead, to the dinner party, and they're going to honor Jesus. So just for a moment, put into your imagination this dinner party with an ex-leper, an ex-dead guy, and Jesus. What kind of conversation you think's going on there? I mean, this is really interesting. You'd want to listen in on this. So all of a sudden, Mark tells us that she broke the flask. He doesn't identify who the woman is. John does. Mary breaks the flask. And of course, then it's commented by Mark and Matthew. It says, there were some of them. For whatever reason, John says Judas spoke up. But Matthew and Mark tell us that there were quite a few disciples who were angry. Indignant means angry. They were angry at this situation because they thought, well, this oil, this fragrant perfume, this very, very expensive perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. That's exactly how much one man would make in a whole year. How much do you make in a year? Don't shout it out. Imagine buying anything for that amount of money, for what it costs you, for what your work is for a whole year. Just imagine that. Now, this very expensive oil, this pure nard from India, undiluted pure stuff. Today's Wilma's birthday. She's on her way to Pittsburgh to spend the week with her parents. School's over, so she's free. And so I'm going to be the bachelor for a week, but I'll be okay. My daughter-in-law in Colorado said, what's Dad going to eat all week? She said, he'll go to Wawa. So I can remember the first time I was going to buy my wife a birthday present, I thought I'd buy her some perfume. So I went to the perfume counter. Guys, you ever do this? And you look at the perfume and you see how expensive it is. And then you see the stuff it says it's perfume, but it's like less than half the price. And the girl tells me, it's toilet water. I'm like, that doesn't even sound good. It might be in my budget, but, you know, just a tip for you young guys. If you're ever going to buy a girl something, don't buy her toilet water. I don't even know where they get that from. It just doesn't sound like it comes from the right place. But this stuff is not even close to that. This stuff is pure. This is essentially a family's estate. Now, what do you do with an estate? You take care of your burial expenses. You take care of your future family. This is that which a person would keep for their future. She takes it and she breaks it open, and now the aroma fills the room. And notice what Jesus says here at the end of the text. We don't have to read the whole thing of Mark. It's very close. He says, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? What she's done is a good work. The poor you will always have with me. You will always have opportunity to help the poor, but I'm not going to be here all the time. The opportunities to do good are few, Jesus says. As far as helping the poor, they're ample. But the opportunity to help me is little. Now Jesus says, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done is to be a memorial to her. I'd like to ask you a question. I grew up in church. I've been in church since the week I was born. I've never heard the gospel preached and her story told. I don't know. Have you ever heard that? I've never heard it told. And yet Jesus said it should be told. It's been lost. Now, jump back with me to Deuteronomy 15. I want you to see what these Jewish guys were upset about. Taking care of the poor. It's in chapter 15 of Deuteronomy where the Lord said, if you have a poor person among you, notice, don't harden your heart. Why do people's hearts get hardened in relationship to helping the poor? Because sometimes we give to the poor and they abuse it. And they take advantage of us and they hurt it for other people. This is a time of the year where people are starting to campaign for an election. And they'll talk about what they're going to do. I don't care what they say they're going to do. I want to know what they've done. What have they done? Have they done what's necessary to help people? You may know this already, but in our taxes, much of what we pay for taxes goes for programs to help the poor. When a person comes to us for help, I try to see, have they accessed what's out there already? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. But if they have and they are still short, we have resources at our church, and there's other resources to help. It's appropriate for us to not harden our heart to help the poor. It's right to do that. But notice they got indignant. Paul talks about anger. Don't be angry, or be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But here's what happens. You know, when we get angry, sometimes we keep it within, and we become stewards, and we just steam. Other times we spew it out, and that's when we let it out of our mouth. And so Paul also says, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So if we don't deal with the anger in our heart, we're going to say something that's going to express that anger, and that's what these guys did. And Jesus basically said, listen, the opportunity to help the poor will never end, but the opportunity to do something for me is limited. There's a great lesson there for us. So let's look at this in John 12. If you still have that passage open in your Bible, you have these two guests of a former leper and a former dead guy in a party setting, a dinner party with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Now, they don't know what's happening next, but in a few days, Jesus will be crucified. And in that day and age, they used these spices and aromas for the bodies because they didn't embalm. So I just want you to imagine that in the next few days, wherever Jesus goes, he's in the upper room teaching, he's at the Garden of Gethsemane praying, he's taken before Pilate, he's taken before Caiaphas, he's taken before Herod. There's an aroma. Whenever Jesus walks in, there's an aroma. Perfume would carry that. When I used to hold my little grandchildren, most of them were boys till we had a girl. Number 7 was a girl. But I'd hold the little babies, and then I'd give them back to their mother, and they would say, you smell like grandpa. Just by being near me, they picked up the scent. Can you in your mind's eye imagine that even at the crucifixion, there was a scent? There was a smell. It was there, what this woman had done. Mary's expression of extravagant love, Jesus says, should be remembered. So think with me for a moment about a few questions. Must all the places where God is represented look mediocre? Must all the furnishings be of the lowest quality or just moderate? Must we live all of our lives under the constant restraint and self-imposed guilt for fear of being told that we're overlooking the poor? Must everything be just adequate? Why not occasionally use something of the highest quality? Have we ever acted in impulse to express our love for the Lord? I remember when the Lord touched my heart. I was 16 years old. I'm in my home church. It's an evening service. And there's a teacher in our Christian school who's going to do special music. And she sang a song about how much God loves us. And my home church was a lot more traditional and staid than this church. And I'm glad for that. But I appreciated where I grew up. But after she got done, it was not common for people to say much after a person did special music. But she finished singing, and I shouted out, "Praise the Lord!" Well, there were quite a few scowls that I received. But it's over 40 years ago. I haven't counted exactly. But I'll never forget what one person said to me. They said to me, "You're really on fire for Jesus right now, but it'll wear off." I said, "I hope never. I hope my zeal and love for Jesus never wears off." Mary did something that people wouldn't do in that day. A woman in the company of other men, not her husband alone, would never take her hair down. She took her hair down. She broke open the family fortune, what was to take care of them for the rest of their lives. And she just gave it all to Jesus. Now, don't get too excited. That kind of expression didn't happen every day of Jesus' life. He didn't constantly have people breaking open vase on him. It only happened twice, we can see in the scripture. But you go into your Bible and you can see that in the Old Testament there was definitely beautiful tapestry and gold adornings in the tabernacle and then in the temple. When God did things, he wanted them to be done well. And we should want things to be done well. But I think there's one other lesson that we need to learn from this vase experience. Because in a very real way, we are all personally like an unbroken vase. We walk into church, one by one, contained, self-sufficient, encased, individually complete, contents undisclosed, no perfume emitting. Are we willing to let God break us open, to care for another person, to even, as Jesus illustrated in John chapter 11, come around those who are grieving and embrace them and love them and weep with them? To be broken for the Lord, for his glory and for others' benefit. To be a broken vase. To express how much we love the Lord. For as we sang, the only reason we love him is because he loved us first. And when we know how much he's loved us, how can we possibly put a price on anything that we would give to him? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Mary's expression of love. And I pray that you would help us. Help us in our lives to not fear what others may think when we would desire to express our gracious and extravagant love for our Lord. And Lord, as you said, what she did is to be remembered. Help us to remember it. Help us to meditate upon it and think on it and to realize that she had done something out of pure love. And there's so much, Lord, that we could do out of our pure love for you. So guide us by your Spirit that we might demonstrate how much we love you. We thank you that you do love us with a love that is everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with